This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
When we did our poll question, which of the four fan bases is the happiest after week one, if you will, the two noon games, the epic, the classics, one in the mountains, one down east. And while NC State and North Carolina each won, I mean, the real answer is none of them, because the ECU and App both lost. But if I was going to answer that question, I would kind of say that I believe that ECU should be the happiest. I think they showed a ton defensively, and I think the immediate future is pretty bright for this team. But we'll talk to Patrick Johnson about that in about 15 minutes. Right now, it's time for the Wall of Sound.
The Wall of Sound is a function of this studio. There's no doubt about it.
All right, sir. Shall we Wall of Sound this sucker up? Let's start in up at the Rock.
Okay.
In Boone. North Carolina scores 63 and wins by two. Mac Brown after the game.
In the Big 12, we had a lot of high-scoring games, but give Appalachian State credit. Number one, they had a tremendous atmosphere. We kept scoring and had them in a position where we could have put them away, but that's why we haven't won games on the road. We didn't put them away. Had some foolish penalties and ran over and celebrated in front of the crowd against just stupid stuff, immature stuff, and we got to grow up and change that. But this time, fought back, came back, and did the things that we needed to do to win. And that's on both sides of the ball. As tough of a day as we had on defense, they stopped two-point plays to win the game. And I don't know that I've ever seen two quarterbacks play any better. So fans and TV sure got their money's worth.
I mean, it was like pinball. Just keep scoring. I'm going to take umbrage one just with one thing. I mean, didn't stop two-point conversions. You stopped one. Chase Bryce missed a wide-open receiver on the other. But I'm not even going to say that was a game winner, because 31 seconds left. What's to stop UNC from getting in field goal range?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, on Twitter, our friend Mike Salarte, who does TV in Charlotte, puts out, looks like the team that scores last is going to win this game. And I'm like, not so fast. Because App didn't get that two-point conversion. And actually, technically, they didn't score. They did score last and lost.
Yeah.
They scored last, but lost the game.
Well, here's the thing as well. That only would have tied the game. No guarantee they win it.
The second one.
Yeah, the second one. Yeah.
The first one puts them up, and then Carolina's 31 seconds away needing a field goal. But holy cow, what a game. Sean Clark, App State head coach. Well, I mean, he was excited about the way his team battled back.
A great football game. Why we don't play his games, in-state games, every single year blows my mind. But I'm very proud of our football team. I'm sitting up here, scored 61 points, 664 yards of offense. Our guys never quit. We're down 21 in the fourth, and we're going to have a hell of a football team. And we'll get some things fixed on defense. We have to have a chance to win. Now, our goal is to win the opener. That didn't happen. But our next goal is win the Sun Belt Championship. So we'll move on to Texas A&M next week. And our guys are hurt, but we're disappointed but not discouraged. The future is bright at Appalachian State.
Do not disagree with anything he said. It's going to be tough to win 10 games now, but because that was definitely a winnable game for App. Mm-hmm. I don't know about A&M on the road next week. But I agree with what he said at first. I shouldn't say there's no reason. I understand the reason why State and Carolina don't want to play these games every year. I get it.
Yeah.
I'm not in favor of it being mandated like it has been in the past. But those games, those two games are awesome for college football. They're awesome for high school football in the state of North Carolina. They are incredible games. I know State and App starting a series in a few years. We need more of those games. It should be. I would love to see these, maybe not in week one. Maybe they're in week two. Maybe they're in week three. I don't know. But I would love to see these games as, you know, non-conference staples between these two, these four institutions. And I'll just throw this at it. When we get to an expanded playoff, and theoretically, we can get more good non-conference matchups because, again, air quotes, they're, theoretically, it's not supposed to damage you to lose a good non-conference game, but we all know that schools won't do that. If that gives you more freedom to schedule these games on an annual basis, then do it. So 1 year it's App and ECU, or App and Carolina. The next year it's App and State. And, you know, flip it the other way with ECU and Carolina and NC State. Have these games every year because it's great for football in the state. All right, to the game that happened in Greenville. Dave Doran on, we'll just talk about the physical part of the game. State had two goal-to-go situations and got no points out of them.
I think the goal line stand was probably, or the goal line series is back-to-back were the most frustrating things to me. Felt like we had two plays called that would have scored, and the ball was stopped by the official on both of them, which was kind of weird in its own right, with neither of them being a penalty. So we had to run nine plays, but it was really seven plays. And, you know, for those of you guys that know football, you really don't have that many, you know, you get that many people down there that close to the line of scrimmage. So that's an area that we got to grow and learn from and be better.
All right. The last part of that was kind of an excuse. Look, I had no problem with the first goal-to-go situation. You ran it. You got close. You tried to throw it. Incomplete. And then Jordan Houston fumbled the ball.
Mm-hmm.
At least you tried something different. My bigger problem was with the second. You were first in goal at the one. You gained nothing, and then lost, or maybe you lost a yard, one of those plays.
Yeah, we got driven back like 20.
And, yeah, well, at some point, we got to blow whistles and stop that because that's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really was dangerous. But State basically ran the same play four times. I don't understand that. I understand going for it. I don't understand being so vanilla there. But that's just the way I'm looking at it. All right, Mike Houston, East Carolina head coach. You got a feel for your players, especially your kicker. He missed two kicks. Mike Houston.
Well, we certainly had our chances. Never should have been that. I told the players in there that they inspire me with the way they fight, their tenacity, their physicality, their intensity. You know, you dominated the number 13 team in the country in the second half. You should have won the game in regulation. I didn't have a lot of words for them other than just they can't let this define us. I mean, it's the program, it's growth, the work that's been invested, these players.
Did you say anything to Owen Daffer after the game?
I just grabbed him, pulled him aside, and I just told him you can't let that define him. You know, none of us are perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
He had a lot of big kicks for us last year. He's got to get beyond this, and I have faith that he will.
Look, tough way to end the game for the kid. He badly pulled the extra point, and then he badly pushed the field goal to win it from the left hash all the way wide of the right upright. Mm-hmm. And I know you had said you were right there for the extra point that he just missed it.
Yeah.
Man, to miss it that badly left, that's a bad pull. But, yes.
From that close range. But, yeah, he was about a length of a football mm-hmm. wide of the goalpost.
Yep. That sucks for the Pirates. But, I mean, I'm looking at it as a bigger picture. I think they had a pretty good account of themselves, especially defensively. And I think that's where a lot of worries were, except, of course, our friend Chip Patterson knew it all along. All right, one more quick thing. Greg Sankey, commissioner of the Southeastern Conference, is on with Paul Feinbaum to answer the question, why won't there be expansion of the college football playoff as early as 2024, although I don't think we should completely rule it out? But here's Sankey.
Well, history is a bit of a guide. You know, we couldn't make a decision for a year on actually the exact same format that was approved Friday. So as you walk through issues, we'll see. I was not surprised we didn't act last September or November. I did expect the ability for us to work through and collaborate to solve problems. That didn't take place. So any of my caution or care and over-predicting change is, hey, I thought we'd have a direction then. We didn't. We have more of a direction now, but some of those same lingering issues will be in front of us.
I do appreciate the not-so-subtle shade thrown by Sankey, basically approving the exact same format they declined a year ago. Because he knows, and everybody should know, that was simply a move out of pettiness by the Big Ten, the ACC, and the Pac-12. That's all it was. The alliance was about nothing other than the SEC, you're not going to run us. That's what it was. And that's fair. I get it. I get it. But who knows when when the expansion will actually take place. All Isley Brothers today. Are we doing another album tomorrow, Dennis? You haven't decided yet?
I haven't decided, but we're definitely going to do another album tomorrow.
It'll be a mood thing. Speaking of mood things, depending upon your state of mind, level of tolerance, level of patience, it would be easy to be really mad that East Carolina lost to NC State in a game where they were the better team in the second half, missed an extra point to tie, and a field goal to win. But from my perspective, so much was shown, especially in the second half. But once the turnover stopped and once the bad punting stopped, that I don't know that I wouldn't be really encouraged. Let's find out what Patrick Johnson from 94.3 The Game in Greenville, what he thinks about 21-20 in favor of NC State at Dowdy-Ficklin Stadium on Saturday. Which way do you look at it, sir?
Well, you have to be encouraged, Adam. It's week one.
Right.
So a lot of this still to be played in an Old Dominion team that's coming in feeling really, really good about itself on Saturday night. And then, you know, Campbell's going to be loaded for bear in a couple of weeks. And then you start the conference. And so you really have no choice. You could still make some hay in these first 3 weeks at home or next 3 weeks at home. Certainly Saturday at times, I think NC State looked as good as advertised. And in the second half, I thought East Carolina looked particularly defensively as good as, you know, a lot of Pirate fans anticipated they would be. I didn't think this was going to be a double digit game at any stretch, despite what our friends, the odds makers for entertainment purposes only, of course. Cause I just think, I think East Carolina is really good. You know, I think NC State still has some things to work out, but they're going to be really, really good. So, you know, I tend to, I guess, be encouraged, but gosh, your heart breaks for Owen Daffer for, you know, missing the extra point. But I think the laces were in by all accounts. And, you know, that extra point and special teams deal had been a little iffy all day. Mm. And then, you know, when Dave Dorn called the timeout, Adam, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, well, this – because they were rushed out there, you know, nine seconds. And I'm thinking, you know, there's no way that they're going to make this with 9 seconds. And you're trying to get them out there and it's 41 yards. And then they, you know, called the timeout to ice them. I thought, well, this could backfire badly, but obviously it didn't. So
this is the worst part about having, for me, two games at noon that I needed to watch. So I was trying to watch them both at the same time, right?
Right.
So my understanding was that NC State called timeout with ECU rushing the field goal unit onto the field with, you know, it was roughly 20 seconds when the previous play ended.
Right.
So, like, why would you call timeout? Somebody sent me an email and said, well, They had two injured players on the field, and my response was, well, State still wouldn't have called timeout if there were two injured players.
Right.
The officials would have stopped the game, and then maybe State gets charged with a timeout. I'm not saying that they wouldn't have, but it didn't make any sense to ice the kicker in that situation. It makes no sense.
Yeah, it ends up working out. And look, there were a lot of things from an NC State perspective, because we had a big audience listening to our local and network stuff that I was on. There were NC State folks, and you know, they were blowing me up all during the pregame, in-game, and postgame. And you know, I mean, the second goal line stand, which ECU looked phenomenal.
Tremendous.
Why not kick it there? I mean, same thing with Florida State the other night. Why not kick it? I don't know if these coaches are going with, you know, the analytics or what have you, and they're, you know, the averages.
The charts.
They do this instead of that.
The charts. Yes, I hate the charts.
Yeah, the charts. The charts.
I hate the charts.
But I mean, kick it there and the game's over.
Well, I don't think you're wrong. Here's my view of it is, it's probably the smarter play to take a 10-point lead if you are NC State with a little bit more than 10 minutes to go. But, and this is where the chart isn't. The chart probably said that. I don't know what the chart said. But this is where I'm like, 10 minutes to go, 10 points isn't it's not astronomical. It's not crazy to overcome that. But I kind of like the aggressiveness of going for it. Now, if there are 6 minutes left, it's a no-brainer, no-brainer. I think at 10 minutes left, especially with as many possessions as there are in college football games, like in the game in Boone, with 10 minutes to go, there were 13 possessions left.
Right. But, I mean, in this game Saturday in Greenville, there were only going to be, you know, a scant few. And ECU is as gallant as Holt Naylor's was, with the separated non-throwing shoulder. And, you know, as much as he tried to do, the running game was not sparkling. You know, he was having a good day with C.J. Johnson, who was excommunicated from the team in the spring for bad behavior, but has come back and been a model citizen. I loved Isaiah Winstead, the Toledo and Norfolk State receiver. I think he's going to be really, really productive this year for ECU. But, you know, the running game, I actually was shocked. I thought East Carolina would run the ball on State better than what they did. I get what you're saying.
But don't you think they ran it well in spots, though? I think they ran it well when they
better
had
in the second half. Yeah,
yeah. When they had to run it better, I thought they ran it better, which is the opposite for NC State. When NC State needed to grind out some yards on the ground, they couldn't.
Yeah, and I think there was some bizarre play calling on both sides. On times where it was obvious you should run the ball, there were throws. On times that it seemed pretty obvious you should be trying to throw, they were running. You know, and I think that's both. But hey, it's week one, Adam. You got to work all the kinks out, right? That's what it is. Well, that's what this whole thing is in week one. You just work the kinks out.
Yeah, that's what they're definitely saying over at NC State. Look, I think Dave Doran said after the game, I'm not going to apologize. We've been on the other side of that, where we feel like we've outplayed the other team, but just circumstances happened and we didn't win a game. So he's not going to apologize, and nobody's asking him to do that.
Nor should he.
I do think it's interesting and maybe encouraging that Mike Houston didn't play any moral victory card there.
Ooh,
like he was disappointed and like angry is not the right word, but I mean I guess you should feel like you should have won the game.
Yeah, and he said as much today. I'm in the never-ending quest to broadcast everything everywhere, Adam. I'm on a morning show in Greenville as well, and so he was on that show with us also this morning, and. You know, he said as much. We should have won the game. The thing is this, and you've been around long enough. How cool was it, though, that scene in Greenville?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the record crowd. And, you know, it's kind of what Mike Houston envisioned when he took the job. And I'll tell you this, when we were sitting there in October and Temple was beating ECU's brains in a handful of years ago and Scotty Montgomery was doing Lord knows what up and down the sidelines. you know, it was far cry from that. Cause I mean, you probably had 8,000 or 7,000 or 8,000 people in the stands if you were lucky that day.
Right.
And, you know, you had 52 legit and probably could have had more from what I understand. And maybe did have more.
Right.
The student section in particular in there. It's a cool time for ECU athletics. I mean, coming off the baseball super regional, which was just so fun and, you know, huge crowds there for that against Texas and that momentum through the summer and now football. And it's just it's kind of a fun time for all of this. I'm hopeful with the 6 o'clock game and the Old Dominion and their win. And, you know, maybe everybody had a good enough time. I understand there were some concession issues and some other ticket issues.
I heard about it.
Oh, we've got to deal with that today on the show with the eight, which I give John Gilbert credit. He's coming on the show today.
He's gonna
take the, you know, the questions. And I mean, I've got a gazillion of them on my inbox and people are sliding in my DMs. I didn't even know that I existed. Just to ask, you know, fire away and ask these questions. And, but hey, I give John Gilbert credit for showing up and doing it. And I give Mike Houston a lot of credit. He's accomplished a great deal. You can't let this loss beat you next week, especially against a hungry Old Dominion team, as the old saying goes.
So
we'll see how it plays out. No, they did. Well, Virginia Tech looked rotten. Let's be honest.
Well, Virginia Tech is exactly what Virginia Tech has been for the last 8 years.
It's crazy, isn't it? Isn't that just the strangest thing?
They're just not. Their offense is just. I mean, it makes you want to turn
it's
the
putrid.
Channel. Yeah,
yeah. It's just that's it. And they care. They've spent money on it. It's to me that's one of the great. You could kind of pinpoint why Miami's not Miami. You can maybe pinpoint a little bit to why Nebraska's not Nebraska, but. The Virginia Tech thing just does it. That one's kind of hard for me to wrap my mind
Virginia
around.
Tech and Florida State are the two.
Those
things make you go, why are these things still these things?
Yeah.
All right. One more thing, because you alluded to the scene in Greenville, and I don't want to talk about the scene in Boone, but same situation. I mean, incredible atmosphere.
Oh yeah,
big boy in state paying a visit. Record crowds. Yeah. So
able to watch both of them because I was actually in the studio for the network. So that was really cool to watch both scenes.
So my question to you is, and I know from the East Carolina perspective, it's a no brainer.
Yeah.
Can you understand why State or Carolina wouldn't want to make this an annual, especially as we're entering into an age where we're getting it to playoff expansion and 12 teams making the playoffs? Tell me.
Adam, I need to say this on your statewide network and
you
anger
do.
People?
You do.
Okay.
You do.
Because they don't seem to have an appetite for it in Raleigh for whatever reason, and they do not have an appetite for it in Chapel Hill for whatever reason. Now, I'll give NC State credit. They have scheduled last week, it was announced, a home-and-home with Appalachian State, and I give them all the credit for that in the world. I know in Chapel Hill there's no appetite for it right now with East Carolina. I can only speak to that. And there's a couple more years left on the state deal. Should it be annual? No. I think that's a big ask. But, you know, I think that there probably should be some regularity that, as much as it pains me to roll Appalachian State in there, that the Appies, the Pirates, the Pack, and UNC, and I mean, heck, even to a degree, Duke and Wake Forest ought to play one another in football, especially with what's about to happen. You're going to need, I mean, look, right or wrong, Adam, ticket receipts are still a big part in the equation. They are in Greenville, but they are in the ACC. That's the thing that the ACC, you know, it's still part of their model. May not be in the SEC, may not be in the Big Ten, but, you know, it obviously helps. But, I mean, that's still part of the equation in these other places. So, I don't get it. I'll never really get it other than there's the idea it doesn't – I mean, I even saw fans post this and tweet this. There's nothing to be gained by us playing at ECU. Da, da, da. Well, I think Dave Doran learned a lot about his team.
But here's the thing.
It was a good win, and it could end up being a good win by the end of the year.
My feeling on this, and we'll let you go on this, Patrick, yes, I understand it's from the recruiting aspect – why do we want to do that? Give them a chance to beat us. It hurts our recruiting. Blah, 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 blah. Here's the thing. Unless we are fools and don't know better, I think we can recognize that a win by NC State over East Carolina is a good win, or over App. And by the way, ECU and NC State are scheduled in 25 and 28 as well. In fact, yeah. State plays East Carolina and App in the same year. I can't Ooh. Believe that. I hope I'm still alive in 2025. So
I hope you are too.
Me too. So I think we get that any win over East Carolina and their football culture, or App and their football culture, is a good win. It yeah. doesn't have to be your best non-conference opponent, but it can be part of your non-conference schedule. That's my point.
And I'm looking at State's non-conference issue. It's a good I mean, for NC State, it's a really good non-conference. I have no problem scheduling an FCS opponent, especially if
I do,
because
of that's
the regional
fine.
Ties. Well, but I get I why they do it.
Do it as
Texas
an exhibition.
Texas Tech is coming in. That's good. UConn, kind of a lesser FBS, UConn. That's fine. I mean, again, you just can't – I understand every week you can't butt heads everywhere.
Right, no, I get it.
I totally get that, yeah.
I get it.
But, I mean, that's a pretty deep – but it needs to include ECU. It needs to include Appalachian State. It probably – why not include Duke if you're not playing them in an ACC? I mean, it's just –
No, that's going to be remedied when the ACC gets rid of division, yeah. So every other year you'll play
– let the people right. – I mean, let's gin up some interest for this stuff.
I agree.
You know?
I agree.
I mean, what's the harm?
At P-Man on air, Patrick Johnson, 94.3 The Game in Greenville.
And the greatest shift in radio today from 5 to 6 because it's only 1 hour of sports talk. And you know what else, Adam? I don't have to lift a finger today because the people are going to be talking to the AD. So I can just kick back today. Today is beautiful.
Feet on the console. Patrick,
totally.
I thank you very much, man. I'll talk to you soon.
See
you,
Adam.
You got it, Patrick Johnson. Like, I think there are big picture conversations about the way we schedule in college football. And I'm the guy who argues that if you are really hell-bent on making your league better, you should schedule down. But if we are headed into an age of an expanded playoff and there are no excuses for not playing good schedules, then what's good for college football in this state is to get the four top programs, no offense to Wake or Duke, mm-hmm. get the four top programs playing each other on a year in, year out basis.
Yeah. When I talked to John Gilbert on Saturday, Chris and I did.
Well, they'd love to
Culture
do it.
State. Well, the reason why we asked him about the scheduling and stuff, and he says, well, coaches want to schedule wins.
Right.
That's the thing. And if they see ECU and App as threats to a winning,
no question.
They're going to try not to schedule them, even though it might be good overall. So, because we asked them about what's it going to take to continue to make ECU to the next level. It's like, well, we have to keep playing games like this. But if we win these games, it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't type deal. Because
well, then both teams did the right thing.
Yeah.
They played really, really well and lost.
Yeah.
Strategic.
Yeah. There it is.
NFL preview to continue as we go to every NFL city. We have been to Inglewood, California twice. We have been to East Rutherford, New Jersey twice. We've been to Vegas. Was I don't think I was here when we went to Vegas. I think I was out.
No.
I couldn't tell people about the M&M store and the... seeing Pete Rose signing autographs outside the memorabilia store in the shops at Caesars, my famous trips to Las Vegas.
There's a M&M store?
Oh, and on the Strip, yes, absolutely.
Oh,
M&M stores are the coolest.
Yeah.
I mean, you just walk in and there's just vats of M&Ms.
I'm for that.
Yeah. Plus, they're separated by color, which that's how I eat M&Ms when I do.
That's actually kind of neat. Now, do they separate also as well by like type? Do they have the pretzel
yes,
ones, the
yeah.
peanut ones, and the peanut butter ones also separated by color?
The last time I was there, there were regular, there were peanut, there were peanut butter.
I love peanut butter
M&Ms. And there was also dark chocolate M&Ms.
Interesting.
That would be my preferred.
Peanut butter M&Ms are my preferred.
Yeah, that's just like a big Reese's Pieces.
And that's okay, too.
Also very good, yes. But all the colors that you could ever want, there's probably like 60 different colors of M&Ms, all stored separately. You can make your own. Like if you wanted to make a Carolina M&Ms, you could just do powder blue and white.
Okay.
Right? You can do that. If you wanted to do a Hartford Whalers M&Ms, You could just do blue and green, a little maybe a little white,
a little
silver.
Touch of white in there.
All right, real quick, since I mentioned Hartford Whalers.
Yeah.
Starting tomorrow.
Okay.
A 25th anniversary podcast series begins, episode one. We are 25 years from the move from Hartford, North Carolina. Hartford, Connecticut to Raleigh, North Carolina. Of course, they spent 2 years in Greensboro. So a special 25th anniversary podcast series starts tomorrow. If you are not a follower of the Canes Corner podcast, you can find it whenever you get your podcast. But if you find it and you click follow, then it automatically shows up.
All right.
So it's been fun. It's not over yet. We got plenty of stuff. I have tons of material, and still getting more every day. All right, let's go to New Orleans, shall we?
All right, New Orleans. First
of all, what are we talking about? What are we talking about here?
First of all, obvious things you have to do in New Orleans: go to a Final Four, if there's
okay.
one in there.
Spit in the river, like Roy Williams has his team
yes.
whenever they're in New Orleans.
Yes, do that. Walk along the river walk is actually a really fun thing
yep,
to do
absolutely.
While you're there. It doesn't cost you anything, which is the best part. Obviously, the big thing you have to do is you have to go to the French Quarter.
French Quarter is awesome.
Bourbon Street. It's an experience walking up and down Bourbon Street.
I've been several. Have you ever had a what's the famous drink called?
Oh gosh, I can't remember what it is. Is it a yard?
Oh, I don't know. I don't remember what it's called. I think I had a hand grenade.
Maybe that's what it's called.
Yeah, it's just in a little blue plastic thing, and it's a hand grenade. It catches.
Yes.
It surprises you. Look, New Orleans smells bad. It's a terrible smelling city.
That is also very true.
It's gross. The food is amazing.
I'm going to get into food here in a little bit.
The food is the best part of New Orleans.
I am going to get into food here in a little bit.
I also like cobblestone.
Yes. Yeah. So one of the cool things about the French Quarter is you have the cobblestone streets.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Jackson Square?
Yes.
Jackson Square is another cool place you got to go to. A lot of street vendors, a lot of people doing like tarot card readings and voodoo stuff, which is a really, really fun
tarot
thing.
Tarot card readings and voodoo, perfect for New Orleans.
It's go experience it. It really is a lot of fun. But yeah, the old architecture and the...
Yeah.
I haven't really seen anything else like it, in my opinion, in the United States at least. Not that I can recall. I haven't seen anything like it, so I definitely recommend, again, going to the French Quarter, Bourbon Street, that whole area. You can also, much like they now have in downtown Raleigh, you can just open carry a drink. They actually have literally just windows, a 3-foot-wide window where you can just walk up and just like, I'll take a drink, and then you can just buy it right there and just walk around the French Quarter.
No question.
With a drink in your hand.
My favorite Popeyes on planet Earth is about a block over from Bourbon Street.
Okay.
It's a great Popeyes. Open until 3 in the morning.
Oh, well,
I don't know if it's original, but it's open until like 3 in the morning. It's fantastic.
Well, there's a reason why it's open until 3 a.m.
Big fan. Big fan.
Food-wise, okay, Popeyes originated out of Louisiana.
Yes, it did.
Yes. But gumbo. You have to get the gumbo while you're down there.
Yes, you do. I mean, there's so many good restaurants. It's ridiculous.
Here's something you need to keep in mind when it comes to food in New Orleans, something that I didn't really realize going in. My first time there was they treat Cajun seasoning like it's salt. Yes. Everything has Cajun seasoning on it. So, for example, a place I recommend going to, Gus's Fried Chicken. Absolutely amazing. I didn't realize that Cajun seasoning would just be in everything. Even in the mac and cheese, Cajun seasoning. Gus's Fried Chicken, I highly recommend going there. Do you have a favorite spot? Oh, also Butcher. It's a sandwich place. I got a Cuban. Amazing.
Well, trying to remember the spot. It's on the other side of, I guess it's Canal Street from the French Quarter.
Yes.
There is a sandwich spot that, again, I don't remember the name. The Muffalata, that is a sandwich that you can't get anywhere else, and it is next level. And it is, there's a lot of bread on it. I'm normally against a lot of bread in a sandwich, but it's just too good. And get that, split it four ways, and then eat something else. Because it's just that good, but it's a lot. I'm going to tell you the best bar in New Orleans right now.
Go for it.
The Jazz in New Orleans is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I was going to say, go watch some Jazz. Get the bands walking through, literally. You get bands that just walk through downtown New Orleans.
Yes.
It's pretty neat.
Lucy's Retired Surfers Bar and Restaurant.
I tried to go there when I was there.
Did you?
And I just didn't have time.
So tomorrow on the program, Darren Gant's going to join us, and I might get him to talk about Lucy's. I think Darren's been familiar with it because as many times as he's been to New Orleans covering the Panthers, he's probably very familiar. But we met him there, and we walk in, and there were dollar High Lifes.
There it is.
What else do you need?
That's it.
Dollar High Life. I spent $3. That's my night, man.
That's wonderful.
This is tremendous. I spent more than $3 because I bought rounds. You can buy also. You can be all sorts of generous at Dollar High Life.
Exactly.
Dollar High Life.
One for everybody.
Phenomenal. Such an underrated beer.
High Life?
Oh,
I couldn't tell you last time I had a High
Life,
to be honest with
yesterday,
you.
Yesterday? During our way too long fantasy football draft, we had too many.
Oh, yeah, that did definitely did.
It took 2 hours.
It took a little while.
It
didn't take 2 hours.
It took 2 hours.
It took an hour and 40.
Some people were taking like the entire 2 minutes.
Hey,
like, come
some
on,
of
be
us
ready.
Had to figure out who we wanted
be
to
ready.
Take.
Be ready.
What if the guy you were taking was, you know, that's, we're not going to get into that.
Be
right
ready.
We're not
that's all
get
I'm saying.
Right.
Just be ready.
So I recommend Gus's Fried Chicken and Butcher as a place to go.
Sorry.
Lucy's is another place that was recommended by some people. I have not been there before. Also, while you're there, got to go to Harrah's. Got to go to the casino.
No, you don't.
Yes, you do. Yes, you
don't
do.
Have to go
if
to
there's
Harrah's.
A casino, you have to go.
Gosh, you don't.
Go to the casino, Adam.
I'm not going.
They got slots, table games.
Of course they do. That's a casino. That's what
yeah,
they
I
have.
Yeah, I know. Well, some casinos. Well, for example, there was one in West Virginia. Still there. They didn't have table games. Table games weren't approved, but slots were. And horse races.
Why would I go to slot machines?
Yeah.
Gosh, the worst. Slot machines are the worst. Next.
Your favorite place, Café Du Monde.
Oh, it's just...
You have to go.
I mean, sure.
It's right there on the French Quarter.
It's an institution.
By Jackson Square.
It's right. It's at the bottom of Jackson Square.
Yes.
Look.
Right there on the river.
It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But people go out of their minds for a beignet. It's a funnel cake. The coffee's
it's
trash.
It's delicious. Who cares
I'm not
about
saying
the coffee?
Not,
you go for the beignet.
Right. I'm not saying that the beignet is not delicious. Mm-hmm. A funnel cake is also delicious. But that's what a beignet is. It's a funnel cake.
Café Beignet. All right. So right there on Canal Street is a place called Café Beignet.
Okay.
All right. So I did Café Du Monde, and I enjoyed it. I thought it was very, very good. I liked it a lot.
All right.
Café Beignet is more of a thicker dough. As opposed to, like you mentioned, a funnel cake, essentially.
Right, so you like that?
I liked both, but I probably would lean towards a Café Beignet.
Because of the thicker dough.
It's a little bit thicker, so it's more like a donut.
So it's more like Dunkin' versus Krispy Kreme
donut. No, it's not. No.
That's what we just got to.
No, it's not.
Yes!
No, it's not.
Yes,
yeah, no, you tried to draw parallels. You're going way too sports radio on this right now.
Finally.
Such
a setup. That was such a setup.
You're killing me right now.
Thank you.
Man. You're absolutely
thank you very much.
Crushing.
Thank you very little. All right.
I'm sorry. It's
it?
On Café Beignet. There's a couple of them, but yeah, I think there's one right there on Royal Street
next.
As well. Excellent. I do need to also recommend to you.
Sure.
Donut place. Because we're not going to count.
A beignet is not a donut.
No, we're not going to count.
It's a
funnel
cake.
I'm not. Beignets are their own thing. I'm not gonna count them as done. Beignets are their own
funnel
thing.
Cake.
Sure, whatever you want to call it. I got actually a place for you. It's called District Donuts. There's actually a couple locations, both
sounds
local.
Good.
District Donuts. Not only do they have donuts, but they actually are open until 9 o'clock at night because they do sliders and beer.
Ooh,
yeah, you can get all kinds of stuff
next.
At District.
Next,
that
level.
Is my good. Level of place to go.
Excellent
to.
Stuff.
Also, when you're around New Orleans, last thing, you have to get to listen to. We talked about Atlanta, a lot of great hip-hop artists, but New Orleans as well. You looked at some people, for example, like Lil Wayne, Juvenile, Nicki Minaj.
Oh, really?
A lot of people who have been big on the New Orleans hip-hop scene. Master P, also done some stuff down in New Orleans as well. Cash Money Records, No Limit. Got to check all that. Got to listen to all that out.
I'm going to give a shout-out to my friend Branford Marsalis and his brother Winton. Branford, who actually lives locally, lives in Durham.
Okay.
Great jazz musician. Winton, who I believe still lives in New Orleans, a little bit. They're different styles of jazz. Their dad, Ellis Marsalis, was a jazz pianist. Tremendous musical family. New Orleans jazz to a T. All right, that is awesome. Tomorrow is Miami.
Miami Gardens.
Miami Gardens, which yes. I don't believe anything is in Miami Gardens. It'll be very similar to Landover and Foxborough and East Rutherford.
And Orchard Park.
And, exactly, Orchard and Orchard Park.
New York was.
This is the Adam Gold Show.